Hi guys, Lachlan here. Joe is also here, but he's gonna remain mute for this intro section for unspecified reasons. So, firstly, I wanted to just, before the episode, briefly apologize for the shitty upload schedule. We've both been very busy, and also I've had the edit for this episode sitting on my computer for like a fortnight now, and I haven't done it because I'm lazy. So sorry about that. And I also wanted to apologize for a couple of audio issues in this episode. It's a little bit crackly. Sorry about that. We can't preview our audio as we're recording with our current recording system, so we can't really catch things like that. Again, sorry. And then, secondly, I wanted to let you guys know that I also do music, apart from this podcast, and I released an EP last week called Thanks to Modernity. My artist name is Elysian, so it's E-L-Y-S-I-A-N. I had to think for too long about how to spell that. So yeah, search it up on streaming platforms. There'll also be a link to it in the description, in the Lachlan's Music section of the links down there. And yeah, thank you for listening. I appreciate that you guys listen to the podcast. And Joe does too, because he's nodding at me, but also remaining silent for no reason. Anyway, enjoy the episode. Theme song.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Implications of Phineas and Ferb podcast.
There's 365 days in a gap year, and uni's gonna come and end it. So the once in a lifetime problem for us is to find a good way to spend it.
Making a podcast.
Alrighty. Well, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It has.
So how about we inform the listeners what bloody happened to the weekly upload schedule? So,
well, bi-weekly now, fortnightly.
Yeah, basically. So what ended up happening was, I don't know if Sydney, like what's going on in Sydney makes the news for any of you guys, but we done fucked up. We got a bunch of cases. Yeah, gone into lockdown. Did you know we had 50 today? 50.
Yeah. We're currently in week two of a scheduled week three. It was going to be a 2-week lockdown, but we got to the end of that and they were like, nope, definitely
another week. It is absolutely not going to be 2 or 3 weeks. It's going to be 2 or 3 months, yes, at least.
But maybe not months.
But what can you do?
I'm thinking 6 weeks. Yeah, which is not amazing, but our vaccines are getting out there.
And we do call remote. Oh, yeah, I've got vaccine. I've got the 5G flowing through my veins right now. Feels good.
You've got shot one of two, right, though?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, normally we would be able to record in lockdown, but unfortunately, whether it was good timing or bad timing is probably up for debate. I would honestly say good timing, but you went on a holiday just in time to escape the cluster. And
yeah, so I wasn't in lockdown, but I was in Tamworth, and I was only planning to be there for a week. But instead, I was there for about two-ish. And I was also going to pick up you and take you back to Sydney and all sorts of cool things. But that didn't happen either.
All the plans got cancelled. But that's okay. Because
we're back, though.
We are back with the Implications of Phineas and Ferb, where we discuss,
The implications
Black Widow, spoiler-free review. So, I thought it was a good...
Black Widow.
Yep, so spoiler-free. It was a good Marvel movie, very well-paced. Nothing in particular stood out, but I am very glad to be back on the Marvel train. It feels fantastic.
I haven't left yet because we've had Loki, WandaVision, Winter Soldier, all that sort of stuff, all of which have been good. I am a bit afraid of Loki, so this is recording on the Saturday before the final episode comes out on Wednesday for us, and A lot of the quality of the series is going to go with how they end it.
Yeah, 100%. I've really been enjoying how wacky it is so far, but like this payoff is going to be.
Yeah, it's going to make or break
be good
it
or
much.
Not.
It has been good, but if it's a terrible reveal, we're going to be like, this is such a waste. If it's a good reveal, the show is going to be fantastic.
Yes. Also, did you hear that did you hear this one's getting renewed for a second season?
Wait, which one?
Loki. Kevin Feige said that
Loki's getting a second season.
Yep. Or it might be that it's like they're thinking about giving it a second season or something. But yeah, they're giving it a second season. Because
I'm totally convinced Sylvie will die. One of the two will have to die. but
I think that you could just keep doing Loki for like as long as you had Tom Hiddleston. Like, that'd be a really good way for him to be able to be in it for as long as he wants without having
just for him to audition to Doctor Who.
Yeah, just basically
your Tom Hiddleston fan fiction Doctor Who. Your little
yeah, no, but like, because this series isn't like tied to the main timeline. You could do this for as long or as little as you wanted.
True. There's no but I think whatever comes at the end here will determine, like,
whether it gets a second season
of how the universe works as well. Mm. Like, how the multiverses work, which would be great for Doctor Strange. Well, that's what I want. I want them to be like, this is what's been happening, and this is how it plays into, well, we'll see how it plays into Doctor Strange and Spider-Man and everything like that. But it's a good time to be alive.
It is a good
time. To see all the Marvel, Marvel shit.
A good time to be alive is incredibly debatable right about now.
Well, like, if you picked any other time, you wouldn't get all the Marvel things in the amount of content you have. Anyway, on to the Phineas and Ferb stuff, which has also done a Marvel crossover. We have to think
wear your
that.
Mask, anyway. Watch Marvel movies, Phineas and Ferb.
True, wear a mask. Season 2, episode 31. She's the Mayor and the Lemonade Stand.
I didn't take a lot of notes for this one because I kept phasing in and out because I'm, for some reason, I don't know why, I'm well rested. I should be surprisingly focused, but I was not. But I tried my best.
Was there a phone in your hand at any point?
Yeah, but that wasn't why I was phasing out. I was just like...
okay.
Kind of vibing and looking at the window.
Candace becomes basically, so she applies for this thing that apparently happens where you can write a little essay and become mayor for the day. That sounds like so much fun. Why do we not do that here?
Very similar things do actually happen, like those sorts of competitions. Not necessarily the mayor for a day thing, but
what do you mean?
My sister wrote a speech and it earned her an internship with Barnaby Joyce, who is a politician those who are not Australian. Yeah, did you not know about that?
Yeah, no, I knew that. I'm just struggling to see how it relates to Candace becoming mayor.
Similar sort of thing. She wrote an essay. A speech is just an essay you say out loud.
She got a fancy scholarship. This isn't a fancy... Okay, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because she didn't get any money. Candace is just getting
I just really wanted to bring up the fact that it was apparently very obvious that he was cheating on his wife.
Yes, he was. Like, wait, what do you mean? How is that obvious?
Kelly was doing the internship while it was happening, and then the scandal broke a month later, and she was like, yeah, I absolutely knew that was happening, because, like, one time it was me, the assistant he was cheating with, and him, and we were in a limousine, and then we went to his office, and he was like, all right, can you run in and grab some papers? And when I came back out, they were having a smoke together, and she was like, it's a bit sus. Aren't you supposed to be married? Why are you sharing a smoke with your attractive young assistant? And then, like, a month later, it's like, oh, yeah, he's been cheating on his wife for, like, 4 months.
Yeah, it was not good. Mm. But I didn't like him beforehand because he's not a great of a minister anyway because he's a baboon.
But don't worry, it's all right. Good. He's only just been re-elected to his office.
Yep, into our deputy prime minister and put on his high cabinet the lady who got basically kicked down for pork barreling her entire the sports fraud scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
the state of the nation aside, let's discuss something far more important.
Candace becomes mayor because she wins this really cool thing that I think we should all do. And it was meant to be pretend position. But then she then gives the person, the only person there that was going to censor her power, the week off with pay. Because apparently that's a power she has as well. Yeah. And once she does that, she has no limitations and is completely like...
Yeah,
the person's area dictator.
The person's supposed to be restraining her and stopping her from having power, which is like, if I pretend that she does have power, I can have a week off with pay.
Yeah.
Fair trade-off.
So she
I'd do
was
that.
Like, that's fair. Except she lets all of Danville get absolutely, well, not ruined, but also this would have been a great way for Doof to become, like, he just gets his
the ruler, yeah,
100%. Powers. New law, I can't be unelected. Done.
Didn't even
sorted.
Go into the competition. There. That would have been an easy way to do it.
Should have entered his little essay. Anyway, she becomes the dictator and she's as bad as Doof because in the future when Doof does become the ruler that we see in one of the realities, she's just as bad. She has a task force. She makes them wear fancy colours. Everything has to be pretty. Basically, graffiti's the building. It's quite extreme what she does.
Yeah, she really goes a bit mad with power. And honestly,
but
same.
You've got to give her credit where credit's due. Unlike Barnaby Joyce, she doesn't forget what elected her, and she wants to bust Phineas and Ferb. So she sets out to do that with the power of, well, what seems to be like the United States military, but more Danville's elite SWAT team.
Yeah.
And starts videoing
them as, like, spying. I wish that I lived in a city that is somehow simultaneously a city and, like, a suburban center that had a military that literally had a SWAT team. Like,
I don't think
that would be quite cool.
Why?
Why not? A SWAT team? Maybe one day I write a really good essay and I end up the mayor of said town and then I have the ability to enact martial law. You ever consider that?
Okay, all right, that's fair. I understand that, because otherwise you're walking down a street and you just see martial law or just SWAT team and you're like, why do we have that? We've only got 300,000 people. And then they tackle you and say, don't ever speak again, and chuck you in jail. Anyway, so she sets out to bust the brothers. At one point, she's getting a live feed from them of what they're doing. If she just recorded that, there's a chance she could have just showed it to the mum. Anyway.
Yeah.
And what the boys are doing that apparently deserves to be busted is making it an authentic Founders Town.
Mm-hmm.
Out of dad's antique tools.
They're like, we're going to use the authentic tools. And this honestly proves that they are physically gods as well as mentally. Because
yeah, that's what I was writing. They're not deeply reliant on technology.
Yeah, they're just able to build a whole town, even if they're doing it just themselves.
They have hard work. They're creative, and they're really just really good idols. They're the people you want to be in your life.
Mm-hmm. I look up to Phineas and Ferb, and it's a little weird to look up to an 11-year-old, but I do it anyway.
So they make this city and actually attract people from the past as well. There's that crazy guy who wants gold.
I love that dude.
We don't even know where he originates from.
I want to live my life like I'm that dude. He's so funny.
How do you spit like that?
He's an old cooter.
He's just like...
Every town has to have an old cooter.
If
I'm the gold, it's mine.
It has to make like the perfect ping when you spit in it. And apart from that, it's then just Isabel Buford and Jaljeet.
No, that's not a really good ping sound.
Ba-ding!
Ding. Mm. Ding. I tried to like clink my teacup with my thing, like.
Ba-ding. We can cheat in the magic of editing, i.e., getting a sound off the internet and then putting it in here. Ba-ding. Ba-ding. Will we? Do you know the difference, listener? I bet you don't.
Betcha you don't. Because we are too good.
We're too good at the spitting. You won't tell the difference because there won't be anything to compare it to. They'll all just be us.
Be fucked getting the sound off the internet. So
yeah, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't expect that.
I appreciate that you accept my laziness.
Doof once again, I think, has some of the best plans he's ever had before, and he's off to golf with his brother because his golf's like, you know what, I've got the day off. I'm going to do some community service and I'm going to play golf with Doof and Smurts. That's what they plan to do. Doof is not about that. He's really ain't about that lifestyle because he pretends to play golf for the first hole or so. And then he uses his acceleratorinator to speed
just fast forward
his brother up. So his brother plays golf by himself, which is fine. People do that. But like very quickly, which... I love, because man, fuck golf. It takes way too long. And he's there like, I ain't going to live through this.
Honestly, most sports are like that, though. I hate how people keep inventing sports that have massive waiting times.
Like, yeah, why is sports slow? Gaming, like, internet gaming, big ones, no wait time. You're in, you die, you're out. Super quick.
Exactly. Like... I was watching an episode of Philosophy Tube today on YouTube. Side note, go subscribe to Philosophy Tube. Absolutely fantastic channel run by Abigail Thorne. Beautiful stuff. They made the joke. And if you've never heard of baseball before, it's like cricket, but even more boring.
I don't know. I think baseball's more exciting than cricket. But
is it
I don't know, because you can hit home runs, which is like yeah, true in cricket. And true. Home runs sounds better. And it's just like, go smack.
But cricket has the little animatic thing of the duck that comes on when you get that. When you get a duck.
They have a 3-day test. If your game takes Jesus 3 days. And one of the tactics is you take as long as possible so your team runs out of time.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. You can't be doing that.
That would make me homicidal.
It's like the Olympics. Imagine if everyone did take the drugs. Like everyone got as many ridiculous yep. drugs. People burnt through their bodies. But man, I want to see someone jump. Like
speaking. Speaking of taking the drugs, did you see that that athlete in America who was like on track to be the fastest woman in the world? And then she got busted for having a tiny bit of weed in her system and they refused to let her audition for the Olympics.
Well, she shouldn't be smoking weed.
Yeah, probably not. But also, like, it's legal where she's from. And also, more importantly, I think if you can be the fastest woman in the world while smoking weed of all drugs, then you kind of deserve 2 gold medals.
Like, if you're going to smoke weed and you're still going to be the fastest, that's
if it was testosterone or, like, some really, like, bad drug that's obviously performance enhancing, okay, sure. Like, that shouldn't be allowed. But if you're winning while smoking weed, that's, like, you know, that's like taking a horse tranquilizer and then still being the fastest person in the world. Like, you've just taken a depressant that should be making you worse, and yet she's still doing amazing. Winning. So, like, good for her.
I know, but also, if you're the toppest athlete, if you're the fastest person alive, I guess they're like, you shouldn't take any drugs. You should be
pure. I suppose so, but I don't know. I feel like there's bigger problems in the world than...
Anyway, the reason why I like the accelerator so much is because it risks time and space. Doofus like, this could destroy everything in the world. The entire universe could change in a way that would mean it could never be unchanged. But we could be in an apocalypse by my using this, but I am not playing a full 9 holes of golf. Get fucked.
Now, if it was golf it, I'd play a full 9 holes of that. We could play some golf while we record the pod. Why not?
I love golf. It. If we became streamers, that's
play a lot of golf. Golf it. But would we play real golf? Fuck no.
Fuck no, not ever. Golf it. Anyway, so I love that. And then Perry breaks it. Oh, hang on. That's probably skipping quite a lot. But I think that's where I'm up to. You got anything else?
No, that's about all I've got. I'll be honest, my notes are pretty sparse for this episode.
Yeah, so then he breaks it.
Oh, I do Perry have one note. Machine. He's like, you know what they say? Something, 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 something. I didn't write down what the saying was. And Doof's like, who says that? He's like, you know, they. And then he gestures over the side and there's two children.
You can't tee off once you're teed off.
Yeah, you can't tee off once you're teed off. And then he gestures over the side and there's two mime children. And they're just like, you can't tee off if you're teed off. And he's like,
in the
creepy,
scary voice
right?
with like dead trees.
They're just called they. I'm like, I did not need some like weird eldritch horror in Phineas and Ferb. That's a very weird tonal shift. And honestly, all I support it. It's funny.
It was hilarious. Here's a weird theory. Mixed with that and the gold guy and some of the other slightly weird things happening and the machine breaking. Do we think this is like an alternate universe sort of thing? Because at the end, Perry breaks a machine, time rewinds, and as it rewinds, all this crazy shit happens, like the aliens back that Doof once sent a guy with the truck away in Ata. And then, like, these crazy things start appearing, and it gets reversed back to where it was before they say the mayor. And then the one final thing happens to Machine, and he gives the gold guy mayorship. And so it's like, did the explosion of that machine result in... like the fracture of the multiverse.
So, new MCU theory for the final episode of Loki, right? the version of the
and it's just Doof, and he's just like, ah, Barry, so you're not Barry the Platypus.
I haven't seen the Marvel crossover episode. Is there a Loki in this universe? Is Loki, there's a Loki, Thor in this universe. So that is probably a Loki. Yeah, there's probably a Loki, that means.
Yeah, there's probably a Loki, that's true.
The Loki from the Phineas and Ferb is the bad guy behind the Loki TV series. The Loki from the timeline where Phineas and Ferb is a thing.
Oh, I was just going to say it was Doof.
No. Maybe Doof is this universe.
Doof becomes Dr. Time in Murphy's Law.
Oh my God.
And so he could have devised a machine, the Tempads, and he's just sitting in that little house we see at the end of episode
five.
And they open the door. And he's just like,
Doof and Smurfs is Kang the Conqueror. Because Kang the Conqueror in the comics has like a bunch of different aliases. He's been Immortus, he's been Kang the Conqueror, he's been
He does
Nicholas,
a bunch of stuff because he's time.
Yeah, because he's going all through time, so there's like a bunch of variations of him. Doofenshmirtz is one of the Kang variants, and he's going to become Kang the Conqueror, and he's going to be the villain for phase 5 and 6 of the MCU.
I've joined the dots. In episode 6, if this is Kang, that confirms our theory. And Kang the Conqueror is canonically Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
Yep, I'm
At
glad
some
that
point,
we're...
he was Dr. Doofenshmirtz. And he
you
was
think
the
you're so
Phineas
fucking slick, Kevin Feige.
Talking
to Swampy and Dan behind the back. We see what's going on.
We know what's up. Now we've got to get Kevin Feige on the channel just to confirm it. We've got, all right, we've got a theory.
Kevin Feige guest appearance for the Marvel episode.
We need you to confirm this for us.
it's like, what if those unannounced Avengers projects? They're like Avengers 5 will be in like 2024 or whatever the freaking plan was.
Yeah.
Avengers, Doofenshmirtz.
Yeah, or
something
like
that.
Avengers,
you know?
Phineas and Ferb.
Yes.
Or Avengers, 100 Days of Summer. It's like live action. Somehow they get pretty superb live action. Tom Cruise.
We've got it. Avengers Tom Age Cruise of Summer. In. But it's
Can
just
you imagine
one weekend.
The Avengers theme, and it pans up, and it's Tom Cruise in a fedora with his like
the pan like keeps going because Tom Cruise is only like 5'2 or 5'3 or whatever, so the pan just like keeps panning
up. Yeah, and then it has to come back down, and then he tries to make a noise, and it's just like, oh, it's Barry the Platypus, watch out. Oh, that'd be so good.
Right, it's called Avengers Age of Summer. And it's just one weekend. It's just like 2 days of summer. And at the end, Phineas and Ferb were like, was that a whole summer? That was only like one weekend.
No, it should be like 100 days of summer. And they're like, bro, that happened in like one night. And they're like,
yeah.
124 days. There's 104 days?
Yeah, 104 days.
104 days of summer. Avengers, 104 days of summer.
Yeah, I love how they still went with that title, Avengers Age of Ultron, and then they proceeded to make the entire movie happen in like a day or two. It's like,
yeah, it's just, like a week at most.
It's like, it's Ultron's not really an age, like more of an inconvenient weekend of Ultron.
Yeah, it's not like he made an era. It's not like he won for a certain amount of time. No,
in the comics, it's like a Days of Future Past situation, I'm pretty sure.
Days of Future Past is actually days, like... He travels for days.
Yeah, no, but like the whole thing in Days of Future Past is like the future gets fucked up and then he's got to go back in time to fix that shit. And that's basically what happens in Age of Ultron. Like the world ends and they've got to go back in time to fix it.
That's not what happens though.
What does happen then? My comics knowledge is getting rusty.
Wait,
no, I'm talking
about
comics.
Actual Ultron or I'm talking about the comics. And I'm like, no.
No, that's because they called it Age of Ultron after the Age of Ultron comic. But in the comics,
yeah, and in
it's
Age of Ultron,
actually
Ultron
an age.
Wins, and he yeah. and they all sorts of things like that spin-off TV series with the new Avengers. That's set when Ultron wins. Like,
yeah,
that's one of their. Anyway, I'm so glad
it's
we figured out.
It's a very Marvel
heavy
episode of
Loki 6, and I'm so happy we know that Kang the Conqueror is Doofenshmirtz, and it makes so much sense.
If you'd like to write in and tell us that we need to talk more about Phineas and Ferb on our podcast, firstly, fuck you, this is our podcast, we can talk about whatever we want. Secondly, implications of Phineas and Ferb @gmail.com. Write in, I'd love some hate mail.
Please, sir. We have had some fan mail that I will have to talk about because it has been like several weeks.
Yeah, you bring up, you do all the mail. I haven't been checking any of the shit.
I have responded to most of it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, nice. Well, firstly, next episode. Synopsis, radio.
Yep.
I didn't take many Duck notes this episode, so you're going to have to help me with a bunch of the plot stuff in this.
Hey. Got any grapes? The man said no.
That's some old internet shit there. I hate that every time that song comes up, it's so annoying and it gets stuck in my head, but also part of me is very nostalgic and brings me back to my childhood, you know. And he said to the man, don't sing it again. Shush.
Hey. Got any grapes? I hated that song until I listened it to the point where it changed me, changed my actual identity.
Or it,
you know,
broke
when they
you.
Talk about songs that played on repeat and heavy music and like they modify the music to torture people.
Yep.
You wouldn't have to do that to the Duck song. You just get them to listen to it more than once in the cell. Yep. And they will crack. They will
basically
crack.
Basically anything that you get completely accustomed to that then changes can cause major distress. Like, there's a torture technique that hasn't really been explored that much where you play a song to someone literally hundreds and thousands of times over and over again for days, and then you just play it one time with something changed, just skip a verse,
different key?
Yeah, change the key or a different verse or something, and they know the song so well that it just gives them a panic attack because it's something that became a constant in their life has suddenly changed.
Right, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I was just thinking that the Duck walked up to the limit which just absolutely ruin you internally because it has me.
Oh yeah, you don't need to play that hundreds and hundreds of times. You need to play that once. Torture done.
Yeah, and then you play it again, and people are like, "No, please stop."
Yeah, I mean, it's all annoying, right, but so also shout out to the person who made that, who now makes money just off that. Like, good on them. They're millionaire from their one video. Yeah,
I hope.
All the
American SWAT torture team.
So, yeah, I didn't take many notes this episode, but I did take note of the first line, which was Phineas, who goes, "Yeah, you're right, Ferb. After that long-winded argument, I agree. We should build a monorail to Mars. Now all we need is 63 million miles of track."
Nice. 63 million miles. Is that how many miles in between us?
Is that accurate? Or maybe I just didn't quickly take down the note.
Let's fact check it.
How far away is Mars? 370
million. That's the minimum distance. The minimum distance, though. No, the minimum distance is 33. Because that would change, obviously.
So maybe they were just 63 million miles away from it at the time.
At that point in time, yeah. Well, they were planning to be. So they'd build it, and then it would catch.
Yeah. Do you know what disappointed me, though?
What?
That they're building a monorail. Monorails aren't a thing for a reason. They're not very efficient.
The monorails are so fun. I love monorails. They're so good. Did you ever do the Sydney one?
I did not, no.
You never did the Sydney one?
Nope.
It was $2.
Wasn't it up in the sky?
Yeah, that's how monorails work.
That's incredible.
So it was $2 and you got on David Jones. So you went up to the fourth floor of David Jones.
That's cool.
And you jump on, and then it would take you. It had six stops, and it just did all loop. And you just jumped off. The issue is it didn't make enough money. Guess where it is now?
Where?
The Melbourne Museum.
Why the Melbourne Museum?
It was a big thing.
Those pricks in Victoria steal everything.
It made no money during Sydney.
Woof.
It had 8 stations over 3.6 kilometres. It made so little money that they could just not afford to run it anymore. And so they sold it. Someone bought this monorail. And instead of, using the monorail, they put it in, I'm pretty sure, the Melbourne Museum.
That's kind of hilarious. Makes more money because it didn't make money than it
It makes more money in the Melbourne Museum than it did as the Sydney mode of transport.
F. Anyway, Phineas and Ferb. Yeah, so my notes are so sparse for this episode. But Phineas and Ferb instead decide to neglect that idea and decide to make a lemonade stand. So that's cool.
Yeah.
They build the most ridiculous lemonade stand ever because, of course, and they have a robot at the back cutting lemons for them. And meanwhile,
he squeezes them and makes the lemons. It's a huge robot. Yeah. And I'll talk more about that robot later.
Yes. So they've got this robot. He's doing the lemonade. Meanwhile, Perry gets sent off to fight Doof straight away. They're in a sauna. They're using the sauna because they lose their benefits if they don't use it 3 times a month, which, you know, fair enough.
I'd like to point out that it also isn't your standard sauna. It is powered by a whale, which is probably animal labor, especially when they're a worker for you and it's Agent W.
They're a unionized worker.
And the big steam comes out of his blowhole.
Hold on, we need to pause the entire podcast. I need to get my M&M. Shit, where is it? Where are you?
What happened? What did you do?
I dropped my M&M. We good, we can continue.
All right. Blowholes usually spit out water, correct?
Yes.
Why is this one spitting out steam?
Oh, shit. How warm is it inside this?
Yeah, that whale is dead. Like, you cannot have boiling water inside a living thing and expect
that shit's cooking.
Yeah, that whale is cooked. Agent W has been cooked inside out.
Yes.
But I guess it could make a nice sauna if you tried it hard enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I can make my room look like a sauna because I've got a fog machine.
Yes, we know you have a fog machine.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to bring it back up because I really like it. It's my favorite thing.
It's a fog machine.
Yes.
Practical applications for a fog machine are very small.
That sounds like someone who's never used a fog machine to fog up their room, because why not? So
I said practical applications of a fog machine.
Okay.
I can think of one.
The practical applications of a degree are also pretty fucking slim. You don't ask,
to get
but,
a
know.
Job.
That doesn't sound very practical to me.
All right. Says the man owning the fog machine. That is fair. All right.
Exactly.
Did you see the episode
of Phineas and Ferb where they used the fog machine? I could use my fog machine.
That was Doof, but yes.
Exactly. I could use my fog machine to become the leader of love.
Flat out. Okay, fair enough.
That's a very practical loose in my eyes.
You will become an evil scientist with your fog machine.
100%.
The first thing I thought when the kid had that lemonade was that it was cocaine. Some form of
people are addicted to this lemonade.
Yeah,
one of the ingredients is sugar. It'd look like sugar if they just put cocaine in there. I'm just saying.
That's true. Isn't cocaine like 3 times more addictive than sugar? But anyway, they're going mad for it to the point where Phineas and Ferb has to cut someone off. If you have to cut someone off from your lemonade, you're putting something special in your lemonade that should not be in it. Like, either it's like alcohol or illicit drugs. I don't mind. I don't care. I just like to have that on the cup, all right? Just when I buy lemonade. If it's going to give me a high, I want to know before I drink it.
So that I can buy extra.
Meanwhile, Doof is applying. Doof's applying for the classic demand and supply. He's made, we think, a Band-Aid brand because he says he has. And... Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not selling so well, so he makes a paper cutinator, which will give paper cuts to everyone, so they will buy his Band-Aids, his expensive Band-Aids.
It's the classic, it's the classic people want GPUs, but they can't make enough GPUs situation, except like the inverted.
Kind of. And so they hurt people to get to buy them more. so he provides paper cuts. Doesn't go to plan, though, because it has to warm up.
Mm-hmm.
Which was weird. And they only fired one. And then later on when it explodes, it had thousands inside it.
Rip Doof. A little confused. Paper cuts are not like tiny little injuries. They are like serious, painful.
Like, they hurt because they're so small. They like cut your nerve endings, I swear. Mm. They're bad.
It's awful.
And especially with the lemon juice that gets in his and the salt that he mentions and the lemons.
Yeah, it's awful.
Just in general, make cuts bad. Anyway, Phineas and Ferb's cocaine lemon juice goes ridiculous. They make so much.
They set up a whole franchise.
Yeah, so when it starts off with the first guy that gets cut off, he mentions four stores and sold to an airline, which is already huge moves for a lemonade stand that's been up for like 2 hours. And then we see Candace get all sad as she crosses the city, and we find a stadium, a blimp, like 12 balloons, all with Phineas and Ferb's face on them, lemonade branded. I don't know why a lemonade store needs a blimp, but I'm excited.
You're asking the wrong question. Why not?
And then they had more than four stores, we later see on. But my question, I said, where did the money go? But that, apart from the 12 stores, the blimps, and the huge amounts of balloons, we actually do we see a transaction of money?
No, not really. I don't think
so. No, so no one actually gives the money. Are they giving away free lemonade?
That's a good question. Oh my God.
And if so,
holy shit, it's money laundering.
What? Yeah, that and drug trafficking.
Yeah. They put some cocaine in the lemonade and then they sell the rest of the cocaine to the streets and then they money launder and they use the cocaine, they use the lemonade as a front.
That, or they're somehow on a stockpile of illicit drugs, right? And they're like, fuck, we need to get rid of this before the cops come. That's exactly what Phineas said. I can imagine him saying it right now. Fuck, we need to get rid of this before the cops come. And so they're like, how do we sell
like,
all
he
this?
Really emphasizes the effort. He's like, fuck.
He's like, hard fuck. F. But, yep. But before, Candace came up with a brilliant idea before. She didn't realize what she said. She's like, make a lemonade stand. He looks at Ferb. And Ferb and him click. They know what they're doing. He's like, I know what we're going to do today. We're going to remove Pablo Escobar's cocaine hand on Danville and sell entire stock underneath.
Have you seen that picture of Pablo Escobar standing in front of the White House when he was the fourth richest man in the world and the most wanted criminal in all of human history?
What? No.
He's literally like the most wanted person on the entire earth. And he's just standing out the front of the White House.
Nice. Hold did you hear on. About I'm the Googling funny it. Fact that... All right, you need to send it to
I'm
me.
I'm going
to
send it to
but
you.
But did you hear during coronavirus that the White House was getting more cases than New Zealand? there were more active cases and they were getting more cases daily than all of New Zealand.
That's
all
very iconic.
Of New Zealand. That's
check your phone.
Insane and American. Very American.
Very American.
The place that has the highest security in the entire world is getting more corona than pacifist ice cream New Zealand. Anyway, send me the photo. I want to see this photo.
I did on Messenger.
He's not even got his hands up. He's just tapping his son. Like,
oh, yeah. It's not him being arrested. It's him on a holiday. He left. He walked back out and he flew back to wherever he was hiding. He was just on a holiday. He was just visiting. He's with his kid.
Right. That's kind
of
crazy.
He was spending like millions of dollars on rubber bands and shit when he was at his height.
Okay, so I think Phineas and Ferb, they've got the stockpile of drugs. They really need to get rid of it. So they sell it away with the lemonade stand. And that helps. Somehow they get the money. They have lots of money. I assume that's how that works.
I like your theory.
Meanwhile, Candace is missing Stacey. I don't know, classic teenage girl stuff. Who knows?
There's not much.
And then Perry jumps and leaves Doof after leaving with tons of paper cuts in an origami crane. Origami cranes don't fly normally, let alone the size of a platypus. But damn. Then it cuts the robot.
Although,
head.
Actually, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm pretty sure really large origami cranes do fly, because the reason that origami cranes don't fly is because they're so heavily folded to wing ratio, but as you scale it up, the folds are still the same thickness, which means that the relative weight changes and the wingspan is enough to carry it, I think.
Well, let's hope so. This is the biggest implication of the entire show. It cuts the robot hand.
Yes, and blood the robot comes can out. Feel pain.
And their blood comes out. So it's not just a oil. Robot. Like, it's an automata. Is it oil or is it not blood?
Well, this is a PG-rated children's network show, so I assume it's not blood.
Hang on. I got to go back. I'm going to make sure. Because if it's red...
I think this might be the most amount of research we've ever done on this show.
I know. We're going to... You wait for it. Rewatch. Rewatch the episode.
This is already the rewatch. You're rewatching and then rewatching again. That's ridiculous.
This is fucking mental. Watch out, everyone. You're about to get hit by Big Brain. Do you remember the Perry reveal in this episode, by any chance?
I do not.
Well, I think you should, because it's one of the best in the entire series. So you should either rewatch it. Yeah, no, well, it's red.
What the fuck? But it's a robot.
Inside the thumb is red, so it doesn't bleed, but it is red. So is it alive? Is it like a robot?
Can it feel?
And
remember
it has
that
like
episode
flesh?
Of Rick and Morty where there's the butter passing robot and it's like, oh my god, why am I alive? It's that. Like,
it's
what
that,
the fuck?
Except it makes lemonade and it bleeds. It's more like the decoys in the latest episode, one of the latest episodes of Rick and Morty.
What do you think of the new season of Rick and Morty so far?
I'm really enjoying it. I didn't like the first step. I don't know. But I did like the second and third.
Yeah, second and third have been quite good. The Eco Planet shit is quite good.
Yeah, I found that quite funny. Though yeah. I would have kept the rings. As soon as I had those rings, I would have flipping kept them.
100%.
You can be an air, fire. You can be the Avatar with those rings.
Yeah, you get all four rings, you're an Avatar.
And he didn't want to be the Avatar, and I was like...
If I didn't like the chick, I'd just put her back in the rings and then just leave her there and just become a...
No, I think the rings just summon her. So she's still alive and shit. They just make her come to... I don't know. I don't know how they work. But yeah, you just get rid of her and then become the Avatar. All you have to do is say fire, earth, wind, water when you want to. Can you imagine doing the fancy punchy punch and then go fire and then burn yourself and become Zuko? It'd be cool.
You become a god.
become god. Anyway, so the robot has flesh inside.
Mm.
Why?
I don't know. They wanted to be fair,
they didn't actually
I know what it is. They gave the robot sentience so that it could feel pain and have emotions because you need to put a little bit of heart in if you want to make good lemonade.
Oh, that's it.
It needs that special touch. You can't automate the process. Yeah.
And you can't fully automate it. You need some form of AI to give it some emotion. Mm. And then it needed the fleshy inside to make sure it could get cut. And cry and
is this the first instance of them creating life?
No. We've already had that.
Point is they literally solved the universal equation and created sentient life from nothing so that it would make good lemonade.
Yeah. Kinda. Yeah. Well, a really good AI that can give love. Mm. So
but why program it to feel pain? Lemonade.
Anyway, the Perry, the platypus reveal. It's the plumber. He comes in and they make a plumber crack joke. And then he's like, a platypus plumber. And he takes the hat off and puts his thing on. And he goes, Perry the platypus plumber. And then he takes the plumber off. And he's like, Perry the platypus. So
I do remember
good.
That reveal. That's a good one.
It's fantastic. It's one of the best in the series. And this episode deserves a watch because of it.
Well, yes. Well, yeah, that's about all I've got for the episode.
Yeah. I'm going to check the Gmail now.
Yes. If you want to reach the show and write into us, send us a letter, do something like that, yell at us for mispronouncing things, tell us to keep on our damn focus instead of talking about Marvel and or Rick and Morty for absolutely no reason because we got distracted, you can write in at theimplicationsofphineasandferb@gmail.com. You can write into the Twitter @of_ferb. You can write in to the Instagram, Implications of Phineas and Ferb. And yeah, you can just find us on any of those platforms and say hi. What do you got for us, Joe?
Anyway, we've got a lovely email from Henry. And he's like, I'm writing in from Portland, which
Portland.
Nice spot I hear. And
where's
I just want to say how much I've been in America.
Oh, right.
Portland, Oregon. It's known for being sad, miserable, and cold. I dare you to Google it. I'm sorry, Henry, you're from Portland. I don't know. I've never been to Portland. I'm sure it's okay. I want to say how much I've been enjoying your podcast. I looked up the Phineas and Ferb on Spotify and randomly one day found it, your guys, and you're the first.
Oh, bless.
When only our first episode had been out. So first of all, he's extremely lucky. The first episode was out, and then he Googled and then he found it. Also, you're one of the majority, I think, of our listeners is just listening randomly on Spotify.
Yeah,
if you're not one of those people.
On Spotify, how'd you find
us? Let me know. Write a comment on the YouTube. That's still apparently happening.
Yeah. Also, if he's been listening since episode one, goddamn, good on him. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. He's been since episode one. He's a huge Phineas and Ferb, like he goes on, but he's a huge fan like us, and it means so much to it, and he loves reliving it with us.
Hell yeah.
Even when you go on tangents about stuff and not related to the actual show, this podcast is still really enjoyable, which I thought was a nice comment. Maybe he's wanting us to stick to it. I don't know. He goes, he can't wait for us to review the Second Dimension movie. Neither can we.
Oh. We are very keen for that, but we're holding off on it because we've already gone through one movie and the Star Wars special. We don't want to, like, we're only on season 2. We don't want to go through all of the really good episodes too quickly.
He goes, people say, he gives us a little tease here. People say Endgame is the most ambitious crossover ever, but it's nothing compared to this! !
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I'm slightly keen for that. But he doesn't realize that Loki is the most ambitious
crossover yet. Yes, it is.
Because Doofenshmirtz is the final villain and has made the TVA, and he's also known as Kang the Conqueror. I also wanted to ask
if there is actually a Doofenshmirtz episode in
any
in Loki,
Marvel MCU.
In any way, we will have, like, we will get so much credit.
We are taking all that credit.
It was all us, baby.
We know you listen to the podcast now. We better either get hired to come for a screenwriter just for that app, or get you on the podcast, because either one I'll be happy with.
Absolutely. Also,
he asked how many listeners we have, and whatever it is, we deserve more.
Do we want to reveal the numbers? I've got them here.
Bless his soul.
Yes.
I'm happy. I'm happy for people to know how many, how few, and how special they are to us.
Anchor estimates our weekly listeners at 63 reoccurring listeners, and then the episodes are averaging about 120-130 plays, with about 300-400 on special episodes like end of seasons, first episode, Candace Against
and
the
Universe, one with Kelsey, of course,
the one with Kelsey, all that stuff. And we have a total of 9,600 plays, so we are just short of getting 10k.
So thank you very much, everyone listening. And
yes, thank you very much.
He made his quarantine better, and he hopes we continue with the podcast.
That's what I want to hear.
It's making my quarantine.
It's
my quarantine better.
100%.
As long as quarantine happens, this podcast probably will as well.
This podcast was a quarantine project, wasn't it? That was our whole thing. We had fun to do. Honestly, I wouldn't have made it through 2020 if I didn't have this podcast, because it was the only real goal I had to work towards.
And it was a good gap year, though.
Yeah. I mean, if you can call it a gap year, it was more of just a year of existing.
Yeah, true. Some of us worked, some of us didn't.
Yeah. Some of us got performance reviewed.
And quit. Some of us, you know, stuck by their job and still kind of working in it.
And persevere. Oh, come on. You had Dan to work with.
I did have Dan.
Don't you tell me that we had it equally as hard when you had Dan.
I wish there was more Dans in this world.
If you're a listener and your name is Dan, thank you. We appreciate you. Yeah. Don't know who you are,
Dans are special people. I've only met more than one Dan.
Yeah, you have.
Oh, there's Dan Swain.
Yep, Danny Swain.
And on that note, not all Dans are amazing except for a couple of our sats. Have a lovely one.
Yes, have a lovely one.
I know what we've done today.
I also know what we've done today.
The Implications of Phineas and Ferb. Listen to it whenever you can.
Wow, what an episode. Feels good to be back.